previously on Eat My Shorts.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Hey, thanks, P. Hey, we still on for golf tomorrow morning? Private chat, exquisite. Sounds like we're going to be hitting the links in style, baby.
I can't find my personnel file. Is this even the right cabinet? Wait a minute. What's this? Crackle Studio was granted $6.9 million in PPP loans. This building doesn't even have any windows. What the heck is going on here?
Now, Pickles, that was an excellent golf shot. And before you continue, I did hear that you helped with the Moderna vaccine and that your grandpa invented the bong and the vape.
So take a look here, Mr. Pickles, sir. Some people call me the best island salesman in the United Arab Emirates. Like, I don't want to brag, but it's very true. As you requested, we were able to create for you an island shaped like a banana. It's all yours.
Oh, hey, Nacho. How's it going? Are you enjoying the party?
I mean, fine, I guess. You know, this is a pretty good yacht party. This is definitely my first, but I wasn't even invited here. Like, so I feel like an interloper.
You look at all the different emails I get sent out into so many department chains and CCs. I'm sure it was just a casual oversight.
Well, I sure hope so. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Speaking of oversight, this boat seems like there's an awful lot of people for the size, and these waters are looking pretty choppy.
I am wearing my water mask.
A terrible yacht accident in the Persian Gulf claimed the life of a prominent American citizen, Pickles the Gorilla, president and CEO of Grackle Studio, the world's number one producer of wonderful audio content. No others were harmed. As it appears, the waterborne vessel sank due to the oversized payload. Bales of U.S. currency. No foul play is suspected.
Hello, everybody. Thank you all for being here today. It's a momentous occasion. We're all wearing very nice clothes. And I'm sure you all have a lot of questions. I would just like to say, number one, thank you all for being here today, and I will be silent for a moment while you all thank me for being here as well. With that, Irvin and I, the Notch, we're happy to take your questions, and I'll go ahead and sit down in this chair here.
And just to kind of piggyback on what Nacho Nova has said, you know, we know that everyone's gathered here for the 100th episode, spectacular review of my Shorts of Simpsons podcast, also the Texas podcast. And you guys have a lot of questions that you want to get to. And we will get to those in just a minute. But I really want to get this elephant in the room out of the way and address the Grackle Studio VP decision.
I have a written statement that I prepared because I want to get ahead of this as well. Let me go ahead and I can't really read my own paper here. It's turned upside down. This is a rookie mistake. Okay. Oh, God. I'm getting a little bit nervous. I'm having a hard time reading this. Sorry, everyone. Just give me a moment.
I'm going to take it back to level here.
Okay. There have been reports that I am pissed. And yes, while it does suck that Irvin is the vice president of Grackle Studio, I will try to be super pissed off in my private time surrounded by my loved ones. Many agree this was a fraudulent job application from the very beginning. But I will nevertheless be the bigger person and wish Irvin the best in his new position. Godspeed, and may Eat My Shorts and Grackle Studio reach new heights under your fraudulent leadership.
Appreciate that, Nacho Nova. I also have a prepared statement that I'd like to give, on winning here. Winning this vice president position in this year fraud election. It is a true shame to be here celebrating a delicious 100 episodes. And we couldn't be here without all the help from the interns, all the way up to the studio management. And, of course, the dirty, disgusting Eat My Shorties. But as we celebrate, we should really pause and reflect and take off our caps and give a little tip of our cap as we celebrate our dear departed leader, Pickles the Gorilla, Grackle Studio CEO. Pickles the Gorilla believed in me from a very early age, gave me the power to be an Eat My Shorts co-host, the Texas podcast. And we've seen tremendous growth this season while he oversaw operations, and we will miss him dearly. And this wine, Eat My Shorts wine, that coincidentally does have a listen on Spotify permalink on its label, is dedicated to you, Pickles. We couldn't have done it without you, but we will continue without you.
I will do my part to compensate for the lack of leadership that we're going to have going forward. And I think that's something that everybody, even though they don't expect it of me, they know I will deliver. Because I deliver on every single promise I've made here at Eat My Shorts. You can go back and listen. That is one thing that we do, is we fulfill our promises. Right, folks? Okay, yes, let's go ahead and kick it off with this reporter. She's waving her hand and jumping up and down.
Hi. I think everyone wants to know, what happened to Irwin?
Thank you. We appreciate that question. Now, this is something that's been on everyone's mind lately because, you know, Eat My Shorts, although there are a lot of things happening with this show, you know, this is episode 100, Pickles, you know, of course, that's unfortunate. But yeah, Irwin, in his absence, is something everyone's been thinking about. I would just like to say that a lot of these questions probably are going to have to be directed towards Irwin. We've reached out to him, and we do miss his presence. But, I mean, is there anything that you'd like to add to that to my cool statement?
Thank you, Notch. America's Notch, everybody. Notch or Nova. You know, all I want to say, just one small thing I want to add to that, Nacho, at the end of the day, Eat My Shorts, the Texas podcast, also the Demographics podcast, we've been trying to really go after that Gen Z demographic, cater to the various demos and, you know, the various age groups. The Irwin experiment supplemented that. As to his current whereabouts and status, I'll have to respectfully refrain from further comment as the situation plays out. I heard he wanted to spend more time with his family, so we can just leave it at that.
We're thinking of you, Irwin. We hope you're having a good season, and we wish you the best in the coming new year.
We wish to never hear about you again.
Thank you.
We thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any questions out there? Please, we are interested in some questions.
Anything and everything that you got for Eat My Short.
A Simpsons podcast.
Your podcast has been referred to as the funny one. Is that reputation justified?
Yes. Irvin, is there anything that you'd like to add to that?
I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth there, Notch or Nova, America's Notch. I accept those results in the way that they have concluded, and I do congratulate us on winning that title, and I have no further comment.
Can you elaborate what makes you the funny one?
I mean, it's got to be the pure knowledge, you know, that we perceive. We're really listening into the listener's soul. I mean, I don't want to be perceived myself, but I feel like we do a really good job at knowing what they're wanting.
I'm going to have to agree with Irvin on that one. And if I can dive a little deeper on that, I would just like to say that there is something universal that we hit on every single week, and it just resonates so deeply with people all over the flat planet Earth. So it's one of those kinds of things that it really speaks to humans and humankind on a cellular level. Thank you very much for your cool question. I love these cool questions.
Yes, you there.
When will Grackle Studios construction be completed?
What does completion really mean if you really break it down? What is or isn't completed these days? I mean, if you look at all the people that do these kinds of things, and frankly, these people have never looked, you know, when you look at it, what the real question is, which is what defines history and completion? I mean, by definition, everything I've said previously has already happened. So, you just look at that and it kind of just answers it for you. You know what I mean?
I never thought about it that way. Now, are there any other questions?
The Fulfillment Podcast.
It's true. And the Fulfillment Press Conference.
Reporting has surfaced in the Ken Grackle Studio is incorporated as a church and has paid no business taxes. Can either of you comment on that?
I personally have no comment. I will, of course, defer to Studio President Nacho Nova.
And thank you, folks. Listen, I don't want to get too much into the details here, but the thing is, it's kind of insensitive and infringing upon our religious rights to even ask that kind of a question.
We don't blame you for asking this. No harm done. But we will be suing you and taking this case to the Supreme Court.
You're going to be speaking with our lawyer, Cole Battle, from this point forward. And that's when I'm shutting up with this particular reporter.
However, we do want to make sure that we stress this is an open field here.
Please.
Any other questions for Nacho Nova, Irvin Castellanos, host of Eat My Shorts, the Simpsons podcast?
Yes, and I see a reporter over here rolling around in the aisle, trying to get our attention. We'll go to this reporter, please.
Nacho, do you accept the board's decision?
What I would like to say is I accept everyone's decision-making here. If I'm going to tell you something, like share with you honestly, this is the best day of my life.
I'm here to support Nacho Nova. Yes, I'm vice president. However, now with Pickle's untimely death, I support the board's elevation of Nacho Nova to president.
I was just lucky to be able to find a legal loophole, you know?
Before we go any further, I just want to say it's a true shame that international travel has been redlined during season 3 of Eat My Shorts. There was a lot of plans that we had for season 3 of Eat My Shorts. Obviously, it's been a remote season. I am wondering what the Guinness judge is up to. There hasn't been a trivia contest in just a minute, which technically does still make me the Eat My Shorts world champion of trivia. But, you know, that's a statement for another day. However, I did want to get that statement on the record officially on this day.
Unfortunate, folks. And this is factual, but there's an asterisk on this. We don't need to get into the details. This is just something for real trivia buffs. But there exists another alternate reality that, for some reason, Irvin refuses to acknowledge. I am the O'Doul's Galactic Champion. This is undisputed. However, I do look forward to, if this is what it comes down to, getting down in the mud and trouncing Irvin at the Guinness World Record as well. I'm happy to do so. I feel like I have the whole executive power of Grackle Studio behind me. I could probably get like the questions in advance or something. So let's go ahead and let's do this. Thank you for your question.
Any more fraud questions?
Everyone in the audience is shaking their head no in unison. But they're clapping.
It's time to start the show.
Woo!
Is the podcast getting better? Or has it always been great? Eat My Shorts is making history now. Let's all celebrate. You say 100 episodes of a podcast about a TV show. 100 milestone. Talking into this microphone. Want to entertain you. We try so hard to get laughs, and we're full of symptoms knowledge. You can have our autographs. We got so much content. We welcome you to this special event. 100 episodes. Listeners, you hit the mother load. 100. Do you listen for our wisdom, or our ratings or reviews, or our great commercial sponsors, or this week in Simpsons News? Simpsons is our favorite thing. We don't work for them, so instead we sing their praises on our show. Again and again and again and again and again and again. We say, buy our t-shirts, buy some of our merch, buy our cassette tapes. You better buy that first. We don't offer refunds, you won't be reimbursed. And Disney could shut us down at any moment, so order yours today. 100 episodes. The Texas podcast heads on down the road. Hundreds to go. Let's start the show. Two hosts, it's like radio. We get to talk with each other. Talk with each other. 100. 100.
Are you okay?
Huh? Who, me?
Yeah. Now, that was a pretty cool trick, because you took your bike, your ride up on the rear wheel like a horse.
Call that a back wheelie.
Whoa. Okay, listen, folks. We can spare you our gearhead insider lingo talk. Welcome to a very famous, very special, and very historic episode of... My Shorts, a Simpsons podcast. Woo!
Episode 100.
this is America's notch. I would say probably the people's notch, because this is a worldwide podcast. Hello.
The global notch. Irving Castellanos here with you once again on this very, very special episode.
Woo! We have some Irving heads in the audience.
And hello, everybody.
This is a remote studio audience.
Motorcycles are cool. Everybody knows this.
We thank you for joining us. Our wonderful shorties are growing global listening community, right?
The Global Simpsons Podcast, but also the regional podcast.
Yeah, we're like in your neighborhood, but we're also there for everyone on planet Earth. We, as a podcast, we go after all people. This podcast is for everybody. All of our jokes are like as inoffensive as possible so that they have mass appeal.
This is what the fucking, what do they call those people? The focus groups told us.
Yeah. I mean, they've really kind of guided our careers. We're very thankful that we've done business with them for so long. And, you know, when I think of podcasting, the first thing that comes to my mind is business.
Yeah. Corporations.
Yeah. It's just such a pure, wonderful feeling, folks. And we hope that you feel this way, too, when you listen to Eat My Shorts.
We hope you put a fucking tie on every time.
Folks, I'm getting a little bit casual. As you know, things didn't really go my way. We don't have to focus on this right now. I refuse to speak about this right now. So I've gone tie-free. What the hell difference does it make? Am I right?
Hey, but the hot dog shirt's back. I do appreciate the hot dog shirt. I've been seeing it around the studio.
I was wearing a hot dog shirt because that's what I had for lunch. It's like my new thing is that I want to have my shirt coincide with my lunch choice. That's fashion 2021, folks.
That's fashion AF.
Yeah, Eat My Shorts predicted it. That's the new fashion trend.
Like in three changes of daily clothes.
You better believe it, right? What else are you going to do? But hey, this is a very special episode that we are celebrating here right now. The future episodes can wait, but we are here to deliver unto you some very special things. Listeners, if this is your first episode, it's probably like you're not going to notice a difference. This is just going to be the first great episode of Eat My Shorts you're listening to.
Yeah, just another Eat My Shorts episode.
If you've listened to all the episodes, you are automatically what we call a super friend. Let us know. Maybe we can like arrange for like a free Patreon subscription for you, huh? Maybe. I don't
all know. Sorts of stuff we can arrange for you.
Yeah, you got to like verify it though. But like if you listen to a bunch of these episodes of this podcast, this one will be a little bit different. We're like putting in more segments. Look, you understand what we're saying.
Who are you to resist, huh?
Exactly right. So, but what we want to do first, it's very important that we start this new thing first. All right, we're going to run out of tape space. This thing is going to be on a tape. It will last for all eternity.
Don't they? I mean, that's what they would throw into like the space capsules, right? Like even the film reels, weren't they on tape?
Yeah. And I will insist that this cassette tape gets launched into space. Eat My Shorts episode 100.
Please. Launch this into fucking space.
But before we move on to the special Simpsons news segment where we're about to move on to, we do have to recognize and thank and kiss our sponsor this week, Golden Corral. Please, everybody, stand up wherever you are and applaud for Golden Corral, our sponsor.
All right. Golden Corral.
Yeah, wonderful food at a wonderful price, all right? You're not going to break the bank. Irvin, I hope that you got the food that they sent over.
One of the perks of having sponsors is getting catering to the studio here and enjoying that delicious, delicious food.
They wanted to make sure that, we had some of the food to sample, folks. Give it a shot. If you check out their Instagram, you'll see some little shots of what they have to offer you, you specifically.
The good thing about Golden Corral is they got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, but you don't got to stop at a little bit. That's just my tip.
I heard that the waiters really appreciate it when you go out of your way to get as much food as possible and then get up and get more before you finish your plates.
You know what? It's personally something that I think they trained them really well to enjoy that. They probably weed the people out.
Up.
Yeah, weed them out in the interview process if they don't like that.
Stack them up. Put the gummy bears on top of the fried chicken.
My pro tip, just like use the same plate over and over again.
Whenever you don't want this food, be like, this bores me. And then just like dump the excess food onto the table and then take that plate up into the buffet line again.
Yeah. And like a little bit of the remnants of each food item you get, it just sits on the plate. So it like starts collecting and it's like a suicide with a soft drink, you know, but like with food.
If you're like food conscious, take back the food that you didn't finish and put it back into the food tray that you got it from. And someone else will enjoy it.
And they will enjoy it, folks. We challenge you to find one thing you don't enjoy at Golden Corral. At Eat My Short Spot, let us know, because that's impossible.
Hit us up.
Yeah. With one thing that you don't like at Golden Corral. Because we're not, we don't believe it. But this is very important, folks. I mean, we really do have to move on. We're so far behind schedule.
But look out for my, I think I'm going to be reading a liner for them a little later.
Yeah, stick around. And these are ad breaks that you're not going to want to like tune out of like you normally do on the podcast. I look at the stats.
It's not the time to get up and make your popcorn and come back for the returning segment.
No, we're going to get a little pissed. But folks, please join us for our important segment, This Week in Simpsons News. Oh, God damn it.
For the news.
I know, but I don't think I think I just have this one. Right. I guess this works. Live from Grackle Studio. Eat my shorts. This week in Eat My Shorts, Simpsons News.
Harold Hammond.
Punky Johnson. This is something that I'm bringing to everyone's attention. This is breaking news, all right, folks? It broke my brain wide open when I saw this.
It broke your news.
A little bit wild. So just let me start off by saying this. Your head may blow up when I tell you what's going on this week in Simpsons news. This is from Screen Rant. We have to give credit to Screen Rant. The Simpsons 10 Most Annoying Characters Ranked. Have you seen this yet, Irvin?
I have not seen it. This is breaking news for me, Irvin Castellanos, co-host of Eat My Shorts, The Simpsons Podcast.
That's good. It's fun to like go in fresh to get shocked and surprised. And you might. I'm going to have to name the writer here, too, because you got to like give people credit for this kind of stuff, too. This is coming to you from one Stephen Barker, okay? Now, I guess he's a Simpsons head. He went through all of the Simpsons memories in his head. He was bonking his head to shake out old memories, you know?
Accredited Simpsons historian, they say.
We've never seen him at any of the Simpsons historian mix-ups, though.
I haven't seen him at the symposiums.
Well, yeah, we haven't been in a while. We were wearing masks at those Simpsons historian masquerade balls, like, for a million years.
Yeah, the one, or like like when like the Great Gatsby like masquerade balls, but ours was always on the bottom so people could see our eyes.
Yeah,
you're inverted. The health conscious podcast.
It's true, folks. We could skip through some of this because I mean, what are you going to do, right? Number 10, Mr. Largo. How much is there to say about Mr. Largo? Why pick him?
So yeah, okay. Let me ask you this, Nacho Nova, co-host of Eat My Shorts and Simpsons Podcast. Mm-hmm. Is this list created and then the writer, this Steven guy,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to call him, does he just give like quips about why he thinks that they're annoying, or is there anything, a merit from the actual show as examples, or is it his opinion? Is it an opinion piece?
It's his opinion. He doesn't provide any research, you know, if this is factual.
He just says, Mr. Largo sucks.
And I can give you a, I don't know if you have that in front of you, but I can give you a taste of his writing style and the listeners and viewers.
Give me a little taste there.
Over the last 30 years, The Simpsons have seen a range of complex characters come and go. However, these have got to be the most annoying ones yet.
He goes on to complain.
However, although there was an endless list of beloved characters on the show, there are just as many that get under the skins of fans. Whether it's annoying catchphrase audiences are sick of hearing or an outdated stereotype,
like the one I'm doing,
these are the most annoying characters The Simpsons have seen.
And then, so Mr. Largo, he just says, the character is just plain boring. Interesting. He feels like wasted screen time when Mr. Largo's on screen. And do you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. I feel like he's one of the, he's a forgettable character for me, but I don't know if I'd put him up there as annoying. I feel like annoying means I want to, I don't want to see anything about him, right?
One thing I can counter this guy with, the line tromboner. That was good.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I haven't seen him very much, but the little things that I have seen have been really funny.
Okay.
We tromboner, that's really about it. Is he annoying? Okay, now I've got a problem with this list because I'm seeing that number 9 is Sideshow Mel. And Sideshow Mel's character is to be annoying. That's true, but that's what makes it funny. Like, he's over-the-top Shakespearean.
It would be annoying if he was a person in real life, but right. that is why he exists. And he provides so much for the show. He gives so much.
I'd like to hear from Sideshow Mel on this.
And I can't find Sideshow Mel on my new soundboard, folks. This is... here we go.
Please!
There we go.
This is very demeaning.
Okay. Seriously. Number 8, Mrs. Hoover.
Ooh, I don't know about that one.
She is an underrated character, similar to Mrs. Krabappel, because she's equally burned out, you know?
Nacho, look at this. Fuck, his reason. Why enter this profession if she had no interest in teaching?
What? That, you know, he's making a point. Interesting. Maybe she should have done something different, like worked at the DMV with Patty and Selma, I guess.
We call those Mondays.
Maybe this character would have been more happy, Mr. Stephen Barker, if Mrs. Hoover worked at the DMV.
Okay, number 7 is Nelson Muntz, and he says, the irritating yell of ha-ha is the most annoying quote the show has ever seen. Sir, please stop writing.
Yeah, this is something that I co-sign on, please. Our virtual studio audience, they're all nodding. We can see them nodding. Krusty the Clown, you could say his voice is annoying. I mean, you could say Bart's voice is annoying. Where do you draw the line, you know?
Cartoon characters as a whole usually have very annoying voices because you have to separate themselves somehow. And usually the voice is the way you go.
There's a lot that Nelson adds to the show.
Also, like, the way he ends his quip on this is, it would be nice to see some more development in Nelson's character. I feel like they've given Nelson a lot of screen time. Even in later seasons, they've given him a lot of episodes that revolved around him or his evolution, like the one where he was in love with Lisa or whatever. There's been a ton of Nelson development.
In later seasons, I'm not so sure because I haven't been there for so many of the new episodes. But yeah.
You just turned 21.
Well, it's true, folks. Hey, and, you know, like, I spent a lot of time on TikTok and stuff like that.
Doing the dances.
Yeah, check it out. Eddie, my short spot on TikTok.
Working on a Colton Corral dance. Rubbing the tummy.
A lot of pressure on me from the execs. I'm also hired a choreographer, so this is setting me back. I'm going to be in the red at the end of this endorsement, but I just, you know, I guaranteed a certain amount of clicks.
I love that several episodes back. It's like, my career is riding on this. I've made some promises on these deliverables.
A lot in the balance. Looking back on my contract, I probably shouldn't have signed it. But, you know, folks, what can you do? This is the dream gig, you know? This is the seat everybody wants to be in, you know? Co-host of Eat My Shorts. Come on, please.
Yeah.
All right, number 6, Yes Guy. You know, this guy has a point. I can meet him on this one. Yes Guy.
Yeah, true. But also pretty funny.
I disagree. And I...
oh, no, tension.
I know, this is too early for this. I guess, you know, I mean, it was funny like the first few times, like maybe the first couple of seasons. But then, yeah, I get it. Like, you're not doing anything new with this guy popping up. Or maybe if I were to see like a mega clip of all of them, you know, maybe I would appreciate it.
Another guy just saying yes. I feel like I always confused him with Vincent Price's character on The Simpsons, too. He kind of has that similar look. I think I just now realized they're not the same character.
As a youngster, because I think they did do Vincent Price first on this show, you know, that's where my head went at first.
Oh, no. Scary.
R.I.P. to a scary monster person, man.
His grandson, Jody.
No, this is... I saw little clips of this actor from, like, the 50s or 60s from, like, other Simpsons historians doing their compilations and whatever. Clip stealing, you know?
Some Rankins.
Okay, number five. This is the top five most annoying characters. This one's a little also out of left field for me. Herman.
Herman the arms dealer, which is very ironic.
I think I get this. I think I get this joke.
Yes!
Woo.
The bomb has gone off. Yeah,
that's
he's pretty annoying. However, he has been pretty instrumental in a lot of really good episodes. Like when Homer had that dream of writing the bomb down, the atomic bomb down.
Mm-hmm.
The Bart the General episode. What else?
Hey, the Pulp, 22 short films about Springfield. That was a great little feature.
Yeah, when he was the guy that had the gimp or whatever from Pulp Fiction. Everybody knows the gimp, right? Gimp outfit. Whoa, they got Lisa on this list?
Mm-hmm. Coming in at number four. Interesting, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oops. Skip the number reveal.
No. I mean, come on. Folks are stuck with us. If you're just tuning in, this is number four of the most annoying Simpsons characters. Lisa at four. This is completely, to me, indefensible. I don't see how this person watched the same Simpsons that I watched. Although the Simpsons clearly need this character, it still irritates fans when the writers constantly create storylines that involve Lisa having a bleak outlook on life. Hey, what could be more bleak than that sentence from this writer, huh?
The writer goes on to say that he really doesn't like the Simpsons having feminist characters on the show.
And he says that she's responsible for the very worst episode of the show. I'm going to go ahead and click the link. He didn't write this, but it's also on Screen Rant. What? This is like musicals. What kind of stupid list? This is like clickbait. He wants to like generate clicks from his... Lisa Goes Gaga. Oh, okay. So I don't know why is that such a bad episode. I never saw it.
No.
That's when I was... we got to do this. We got to do this list.
Also said that the character has two extreme views on society and politics. Okay.
Interesting. What kind of society is Screen Rant? Oh, you know what? I see right here.
Breitbart subsidiary.
Yeah, so now I'm seeing there's like down the page several Confederate flags. Blue Lives Matter flag. Okay, folks. All right.
Thin blue line flag.
Yeah, seriously. Number three, because, I mean, we don't have to take this list seriously at this point. Number three, yeah. Patty and Selma. Also a 1-2 double whammy of WT, huh?
Oh, look, he's making fun of them being serial daters. So now we've got a body count shamer.
Yeah, interesting, right? So this guy, this writer, Mr. Stephen Barker, Stephen Barker, he might be barking up the wrong tree with us Simpsons historians. He hates Patty and Selma, and he calls them just annoying. Wow. Interesting that he doesn't have the same sort of characterizations about the men, huh? Interesting. Number two.
More women than men on this list.
Hey, and this was very telling, his defense of the number two most annoying character. Well, not defense of him, but number two on his list, Cletus. Very annoying, he says. In the beginning, he was a nice, friendly yokel. However, over the course of several seasons, the writers turned him into an incestuous creep whose wife is seemingly always pregnant. Adding to that are copious amounts of unfunny redneck jokes. This character has turned into one of the worst stereotypes for those citizens living out in the countryside.
So he's taking it out on Cletus that his wife is always pregnant. And of course this would be number one, because what's worse than one woman to this writer but two women?
Yeah, and he already took out the other two-woman duo on this show, Patty and Selma. Sherry and Terry. How?
They are two of the few characters to have never been given their own proper episodes.
Since the writers haven't explored the backgrounds much, it seems like they don't even care about them.
Mm-hmm.
Annoying brats we don't know anything about after 30 years. I mean, because they're always giggling. I guess this guy hated little girls like that on the playground when he was a kid or something.
Yeah, I'm not really... Does this guy do all the Screen Rant top 10?
No, he linked to another one that was some other author, but... yeah, if you want, you can probably follow him. I don't know if this website provides a link to him, but that's Stephen Barker. And not Steve Z, our co-host on the show. This is Stephen with a PH. So there you go, folks. I just had to share that with you, Irvin. This guy's top most annoying characters ranked.
I appreciate it. It's really good to see other people's perspectives. That way that it just shows you how much better our perspective is.
That's a good point, you know. This does make me appreciate my enjoyment of The Simpsons and the fact that people like you and I and the shorties are able to appreciate the quality of this show, do you know what I mean, for the masterpiece that it is.
Eat My Shorts. It's The Thinking Person's Podcast.
That's true. All right, and one thing I wanted to mention, Bill Oakley's Steamies just took place recently, and we wanted to recognize all the wonderful winners on his award show there at That Bill Oakley on Instagram. It's just good stuff, and we don't want to, like, spoil it here on the show. I would love to, but, I mean, it's his award show.
The Steamies.
And I think this is kind of funny that we're at the time that we're recording our 100th episode of Eat My Shorts, The Simpsons podcast. It coincides with a very momentous moment in Simpsons history. On this day in 1989, The Simpsons premiered on TV. Simpsons roasting on an open fire, huh?
Wow. 31 years ago?
Yeah, 31 years ago. We were just little glints in our parents' eyeballs and genitalia.
Yeah. Decades before we were born.
Isn't that something? Wow. So that was 31 years ago, folks. It only makes sense that we're recording this on this hallowed day. And that's this week in Simpson News. Goodbye.
Kids news.
Folks, stick around. You might be like at your capacity of wonderful content. We understand because that was a lot of great stuff to handle at one time in one sitting. So if you need to put this episode on pause, you know, do some prayers or squats or Pilates or stretches or whatever, do so and then come straight back. But if you're listening to the episode, hang on for a moment, right? We have a wonderful sponsor this week that we want to share with you. So stick around. We'll be right back. But this is really going to enrich your life.
The Simpsons will be right back.
And, like, I'd like to turn the show over to my famous co-host, Irvin, because this is a host red ad.
All right. This is what we in the business call a liner. And this liner is for the delicious, delicious restaurant that we have been sponsored for episode 100 of Eat My Shorts, Golden Corral.
Woo!
Your tummy got you feeling crummy? Take that frown down to Chowtown, clown. Golden Corral is ready to make all your wildest food dreams come true today. Folks, let's face the facts. A bummer tummer is about as fun as washing your hands after using the bathroom. No thanks. When I'm hungry, I want food now, and I don't give a fuck about nothing else. You can catch me at Golden Corral for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love it. All you can eat, and nobody's gonna tell you shit. Get a load of their premium meats. They have salad, but you don't have to have any. I don't. That stuff runs right through me. Golden Corral is a whole-ass mood and has all your favorite meal deals. Meatish loaf, steakly burgers, their famous awesome pot roast, pizzas, pot pies, and yes, Bourbon Street chicken. Get one of everything. That's my advice. Ask the manager for their choice of the day. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Finish your meal off with nonstop desserts dipped in Golden Corral's famous chocolate. This place is all you can eat, so legally they can never kick you out. Make all the other bellies jelly. Ditch your boring-ass home cooking and leave the cooking to Golden Corral. Tell them Irvin sent you and receive free anti-diarrheal medication when you pay your check. Turn those bowel movements into bowel groovements at Golden Corral. Golden Corral restrooms are employee access only and not available for customer use.
Oh, my God. Hey, best friends, it's your boy, The Notch. We've had a lot of fun, but this is the end of side one. See you on side two of the cassette tape.
my shorts.
I hate America.
I hate America.
You and me, we used to sit together in the studio together, always. The shorties feel like they're laughing with their best friends. Can't believe it's seasons 3 and recording the show via remote studio. And our next meal, well, I hope it's Domino's. Don't speak, I know just what you're saying, so please stop delaying. I know it's Mr. Burns. Don't speak, I know what you're thinking. 90s classic seasons, no new ones cause it hurts. Our memories of the show are inviting, like the boxcar little lightning, I'd say. So we record the show, you and I, in the Grackle Studio Slack. I sat and I typed. Don't speak, I know just what you're saying. Lisa does need braces, get rid of those sideburns. No, no, no. Don't speak, I know what you're thinking. 90s classic seasons, no new ones cause it hurts. Eat My Shorts is trending, I gotta stop explaining who we are.
Eat My Shorts.
Notch and me, they can smell us high in, are we? Don't speak, I know what you're thinking. 90s classic seasons, no new ones cause it hurts. No, 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 don't speak, I know where you're going. So please stop delaying. I know it's Mr. Burns. I guess it could be Kearns. I know what you're saying. Hiatus for retooling. Don't speak, don't speak, don't speak, no. I know what you're thinking. 90s classic seasons. I know you're good, I know you're good, I know you're real good.
You know, if you want to last in this business, you gotta stay fresh.
Don't.
That's my thing that I say.
Fight, fight, fight.
Oh?
Fight, fight, fight. No new ones cause it hurts. Fight, fight, bark. Fight, fight, bark.
Whoa.
Fight, fight, bark.
Yes.
No new ones cause it hurts.
But look at my range.
Are you going to eat it?
Let me rephrase that.
Some of these guys have a bad attitude, Skip.
This is a Mexican delicacy.
Eat my shorts.
Hey, girls, look at me!
on TV and get back to work.
Welcome back.
Okay, well, here's something worth exploring. You know, I think I've mentioned this at one point earlier, and this is off the podcast, but this was in real life. But how many episodes have we done? Probably about 100 now.
Got to be at least 100. 100.
And when we started doing this podcast, what, 2018?
April 20th.
Holy smokes.
Somewhere around there.
Not many people know how podcasts work behind the scenes, but first you got to record them, then you got to edit them, and then you got to release them.
And before you even get there, you got to think of an idea.
And a title.
The title is really hard.
So I think by the time that we, you know, put the podcast out, we probably had recorded a couple, had the title down at that point. But this little hook provided an opportunity for us to get to know each other as human beings on the show, and in a lot of instances, just live on the mic, same as the audience heard it. You know what I mean?
Nothing like a hot mic.
But, like, there's probably also a lot that, for example, the audience doesn't know about you or I. And I was thinking, I was rummaging through my brain, you know, like, you know, I do a lot of the editing on the show. Let's face it, folks. You spend a lot of hours listening to yourself talk. and when you're picking out bits and pieces to move the show along, you know, you hear the same bit over and over. But, you know, you're looking for commonalities. Like, one thing I've realized over the course of time that's a commonality with what you and I both do leading up to recording this podcast, in some capacity, we both write. And I think it's interesting because I was just reading that book. I crammed it, man. That book that you lent to me 2 years ago when we started the show.
I think I literally, it was at the beginning
yeah.
of my shorts, a Simpsons podcast, right?
Finally got around to it. But I, you know,
classic EMS.
It took me a while. I used to be a big reader and like I was out of the habit of it. So it was fun to get back into it with this book. But like Simpsons, writer heavy show. Everybody who watches the show can appreciate that. And I'm wondering, is that something that played into you wanting to start writing or was it just circumstantial or how'd you get into it?
Yeah, I hello, this is Irving Castellanos, co-host of my Shorts and Simpsons podcast.
It's true.
Also the Simpsons podcast. Well, actually, if I can kind of go back a little bit even further, I think I touched on this on an early episode of our podcast, is that I actually learned how to speak English and as a derivative of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really like, yeah, I mean, obviously it's definitely led to the way that I perceive comedy and I perceive timing and in the way that I appreciate, I guess, the development of a story, which I didn't really learn until I, you know, was a teenager and later on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something to be said for the things that develop you as a youth and develop you as the person that you are. And the fact that I learned how to basically go from like this little rancho kid, you know, that knew Spanish, even though I was born in Texas, I was born in Dallas, but I was raised in Northern Mexico, mm-hmm. which I'm sure I share with a lot of people that crisscross the border due to familial circumstances. The fact that The Simpsons was the reason that I basically learned how to speak English at a young age has a lot to do with my loyalty to the show and the fact that it's now kind of, it basically developed from an early age my the way that I saw the world once I learned English, if that makes sense. After that, it's really funny because it's like you go from a fucking show that started in 1989 to then like watching like I Love Lucy reruns and then like, you know, because I didn't have cable growing up. So it was I Love Lucy is like other shit like and this is a fucking podcast gimmick too early. It was Perry Mason. Just all the shows that were available to you from broadcast television in the early 1990s. And that's basically what led to my development. And that in like the Dallas Public Library. Thank you so much. Like Arthur would say, it ain't fun. Something, something library card.
Oh, it's not fun Wait, having fun isn't hard because you have your library card.
Exactly. And I would a big memory for me growing up was taking my little red wagon, as you would see Matilda take in the 1990s great movie with Mara Wilson, is fucking going to the Dallas Public Library and just filling that bitch up with fucking books. And hell so, yeah. Like, and that's what really led to me becoming a writer. It's like reading books and like loving the way that stories were created. But it wouldn't have happened if I didn't get to learn the fucking language. And that's true. Happened because I was a kid, grew up watching anime in northern Mexico, like Dragon Ball Z shit, Saint Seiya, which was called Los Caballeros del Zodiaco in Nuevo León, and this was all in Spanish. So I watched The Simpsons in Spanish, and then I watched The Simpsons in English when I got to Dallas. And then I learned English, and then I learned how to read. And then, you know, so on and so forth is my story.
And it's funny.
More, baby.
Like, I didn't grow up speaking Spanish as my first language, even though it was my mother's first language. You know, every time I went over to, you know, my mother's side of the family, it's everybody speaking Spanish. Like, but nobody ever forced me to learn it, so I never learned it. But even growing up, like, I loved The Simpsons so much that I would try and watch it in as much as I could, you know. And when The Simpsons is over, like, nothing is holding my interest. The Frasier rerun, I could take it or leave it, so let me flip the channels. And there'd be Simpsons in Spanish, so I knew I had seen enough episodes in syndication enough times to learn the lines pretty much by memory, you know. Like a school play or something, and so I could tune in and like, oh, these words mean these words. So it did help me learn Spanish. Probably coming in at a close second is Duolingo, the app on my phone that I play with now to help me learn Spanish. Cause,
not to be confused with Dua Lipa.
Please, no. The less said about her, the better. I'm in the doghouse for seeing her performance on SNL.
Something that I definitely have kept as we keep rewatching these, because the point of our show is like, okay, we're reliving this episode as we remember it, but we're also taking the time to go back and rewatch it as adults and trying to find out things that we missed along the way,
mm-hmm.
and finding those things that we had in common, even though we watched these in different situations, right? And one thing that it's always in my head is like, damn, dude, I remember watching this in Spanish. And like a lot of these gimmicks and these bits are just as funny in Spanish as they were in English. And a lot of them are even like not even the same tangent, you know, like it's like they're taking that pop culture from, I don't want to say Mexican shit because it's all Latin America. But it's definitely a thing. Like, so if you are a POC Spanish speaker and you've never done that, I highly recommend using your Disney Plus account to changing the language option to Spanish and experiencing that shit for the first time if you've never done it.
And what's cool, you get to, like, know the other voice actors as well, too.
Yes. Oh, man, we talked about that in a very early episode of season one.
Yeah.
The dude, the Homer episode, right? He has, like, a statue in Veracruz or somewhere.
Yeah, that's a great monument to the appreciation that they have for, you know, the show and the voice actor, too. It's not a Den Castellaneta statue.
Castellaneta. No, just kidding. as we've grown the show and we've gotten listeners from different parts of the world, frankly, which I'm super thankful for, I feel like we started this as a way to just be talking shit with each other,
yeah.
You know, and the fact that we're getting traction with other people in other places is honestly super thankful for that and very appreciative of it. But the fact that there's like Latin American listeners, I guess I just wanted to state, like, it's super cool that like those segments and like those pop culture moments exist for that population. I've seen that. I get the fact of what happens in the English version. And it's just really cool to be in the amalgamation of it, in the middle of that.
It's true. We were talking earlier, this is probably off the podcast, about how I just watched a couple episodes of Family Matters. I watched the first one, the last one, to try and just trip myself out about how much the show had changed over its own run. I don't know how long it was.
How it was originally still a family show,
yeah.
Family comedy.
And it got nuts. And it didn't really hold up. I mean, there were some elements I laughed sometimes, but it doesn't hold up to my brain in the same way that, for example, you can pop on a Simpsons from the same year and it is timeless. They could have made it today for the most part. And there is something funny. There's something special about these goddamn early episodes of The Simpsons, and it's understandable that so many people from so many different kinds of backgrounds found it to be something meaningful.
We talked about this very recently, as we've seen the growth in the podcast. Like, we've seen the big growth in, like, Australia and Europe. And I think we were just like, damn, dude, it's kind of like, it's still kind of pop culture. It's still like the main part of pop culture in certain parts of the world, even as maybe in the US it's kind of trailed off, and like maybe it's some like a sort of tribute show to the shit that we grew up in. It's like a nostalgia thing for us. Other parts of the fucking world like are still basing all their pop culture references on this shit.
Kind of like, you know, we got into The Mandalorian recently. Like, you know, Star Wars heads are getting super excited because that's like a big thing right now.
Yoda head.
But it, like, and speaking of Disney properties, like, this is something that's becoming as big, probably, and will be as big as Star Wars shit in our lifetimes, you know, Simpsons lore. Maybe it's good that we're getting in on the ground floor of, like, Simpsons historians with a body of recorded content.
It's good that we're accredited Simpsons historians, as we heard on the press conference earlier.
It's true.
No one can deny this.
Yeah, as far as everybody knows.
Did my Borat voice for that.
Look, if you want to go into my office, I can show you the certificate on my wall. That's what you call it, right? Certificate from college. But yeah, you know, like, I think probably there's a lot of, you know, because my gimmick is drawing comics, you know. I think a lot of what I took from, I don't know, joke timing, joke construction. I think there's a lot of shit that I cribbed from The Simpsons that helped me for the stuff that I did, you know?
Damn, I don't think I've ever actually asked you that. Like, I mean, I've thought about it in person, but, like, I've seen your work. I've looked at your comic book situation. I love that shit. And I've just wondered, like, how that influenced you in your art. I guess, when did you start drawing? And, like, where did that influence begin?
Damn, that's a good question. So, when I was a kid, the Simpsons debuted when I was 5 years old. When you're a youngster, like a young Maggie Simpson's planted in front of the television to watch Happy Little Elves to kind of keep her placated, you just sit there and you deal with it. But Simpsons was different. 31 years ago, I think, within the last couple of days, give or take, the Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire debuted. And I remember watching that live just because I think the reason my brain remembered it was because it was so different from anything else I'd seen on television, including, you know, cool Looney Tunes cartoons or whatever. So it's a little bit of a mind blower, like when you hear a really good song for the first time or something. And yeah, Simpsons joke construction was good. Of course, you know, I grew up reading the comic books as well as, you know, comic strips in the newspaper. But that teaches you a little bit, but that stuff was, those jokes didn't land. Those jokes weren't as funny. I wasn't laughing out loud in the comics like I was laughing out loud at The Simpsons, with the exception of maybe like Peanuts or like Calvin and Hobbes or something. Or Farside, that was a good one. That's a laugher.
Maybe Garfield then.
Nah, you know, like I read Garfield. I checked those books out from the library, but I think it was just like an appreciation for the art because, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't, God, I understand other people are Garfield heads, but like that's why my Garfield art is always like, he's killing himself or like it's always depressing or something. Like I can't get into it.
I've always appreciated your Garfield.
He's always like miserable.
I fucking hate Mondays.
Yeah, or like I make him basically I'm turning him into a Bart Simpson character where he's like shitting on Mondays or whatever, pissing on Mondays.
Did you when you were watching that, like I think I asked this because we think about this now, and actually I think I've told you this. I've never thought about it before until I met you and like you explained this shit to me. It's like the animation shit that you see in an episode and the way that it's paced and the way that it's like drawn out and storyboarded. It's like I never paid attention to the way that a cartoon is directed, if that makes sense. Did you pay attention to that growing up? Or, and if you didn't, when did you?
Not so much. Probably not until I was a up my own ass young 20-year-old watching movies. And yeah, I don't know, like direction of cartoons. I don't think I became direction, like I was aware of shots or anything like that until, yeah, early 20s. But I didn't become aware of it specifically in The Simpsons until we started doing this podcast, really, fucking 2 years ago.
Dude, it's like, let's take another look at this. Besides all the hilarious joke quotes that we'll say to each other and our friends, who are probably super tired of hearing about these things from us at that point.
Yeah, well, this was sort of like an outlet for all that stuff. It hasn't really, I don't know if it's really changed. I think I'd still talk about The Simpsons with people as much as I always did.
I think that the medium of finding Twitter has been like a great outlet for me. It's like, or like even Insta to a degree. It's like, oh, cool. I don't have to look for these people in real life because they all exist out in here in this fucking internet. let me throw this shit out here. You guys will appreciate this, right?
Well, that's sort of the podcast. That's the approach to the podcast this whole time, really, you know? We hope it lands.
You guys don't know about the dental plan, like me to my friends in like 2015.
Yeah, listen, folks, we will repeat this incessantly. It's a part of our job, if you think about it.
Syndication.
Repeating.
The POC.
It's my job to be repetitive. My
trying
job.
To throw in all the fucking
my
lines.
Job. Repetitiveness is my job.
Yeah, it's true. And we are the Simpsons POC podcast. That's pretty cool, too. We have accolades.
Simpsons podcast.
We're the Texas podcast.
Eating Persons podcast.
Yeah. We're also the Cat podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
We are now the Cat podcast. Also the Art podcast.
Eat My Shorts.
The Art podcast. The most listened to podcast of all Simpsons podcasts. It is the highlight of this day and ages podcast.
I thought that was interesting that we both got into writing because we both like The Simpsons. Not necessarily because, but those are two truths.
What I will say is that I have secretly, actually not so secretly because my editor has been super supportive of this, but I have basically snuck in a Simpsons reference in every single fucking article I've ever written, starting in September of 2016 when I started writing professionally.
Hell yeah.
And it's either been like a tiny, tiny little reference or a very outright reference, including a fucking YouTube link to the actual scene. But I am unapologetic about including this because it is who I am and it will continue to be in my writing. So I pull no punches.
It's encouraging to hear that this is something that runs so deeply within both of the hosts of Eat My Shorts and Simpsons podcast.
You could say that we love this show.
Like I tell you, I started drawing comics basically when I was, 10 years old. They were very crude, very dumb. I kind of made them like just action comics. But when I started doing characters and all that, like when I eventually started modeling them after sort of semi-Simpsons characters. I can send you a fucking trove of shit where it's like, oh, no shit, this guy is ripping off the style of The Simpsons.
Hey, look out for this. We're going to post this on social media platforms.
Yeah,
Twitter, Instagram when episode 100 drops.
GraccoStudio.com. I'm going to go ahead and put up all these old comics again. I was looking through them recently. There's some good gags. But, I mean, this Simpsons writing and Simpsons drawing factored heavily into me deciding to go into drawing cartoons and comics and stuff like that. Yeah, you could see it. It's very evident, but you know, like reading through that, you know, that book that A Complete Guide to Our Favorite Family.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they just reproduced the art. I used to buy those Bungo comics from The Simpsons. So I had like enough Simpsons art to sort of refer to figure out how to draw like characters in 3/4, you know, like it was really helpful for me to start learning how to draw.
Was there ever, and I feel like I saw this with like Beavis and Butthead, maybe there was something for The Simpsons, but didn't they release something like where it would show like an artist, like you just mentioned it, and I am going to use the complete layman's terms because I am not fucking privy to this, mm-hmm. But it would show you like the basic like ovals that you would start with in a character, and then kind of like the progression and how to build somebody.
Now, audience, please stop laughing. He was being vulnerable.
This primitive man.
No, yeah, you're right. It was like the How to Draw the Simpsons or something book.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Hey, when bookstores used to exist in the mall, that was one of the ones I always used to like to pick up and flip through, you know?
And steal.
I wish. No, I was like, listen, come on. When I was 5 years old, I shoplifted and got put in the back of a cop car when I was five. So I never really tried it after that.
This is on a canon Eat My Shorts Simpsons podcast episode. I'm trying to remember. I think it was the Manny Galavis episode. We talked about this at length.
I didn't start shoplifting again until I started working for that company.
Taking the inventory directly.
Please, because then it was...
The electronic inventory.
Yeah, come on. It's righteous at that point. Wait, what were we talking about? We had to have that at some point.
Simpsons properties. Fucking Barnes & Noble.
Oh, yeah, okay. That was a great looking book. Never really... I never owned it or anything like that, but... I mean, David Silverman posts a lot of really cool stuff on Twitter. Like Simpsons animation guides and the style guides and the character sheets and all that. So that's really cool stuff for me as a Simpsons fan to see.
These dudes like post a lot of really cool like back, I guess, not backstage, but you know what I mean. Like
dressing room
shit. Yeah. Like I know I've seen it with him. I think I've seen it with Wes Archer, if not on his Twitter, then on his Instagram.
You know, I think that's one of, as me as a Simpsons head, I think it's super cool that Wes Archer follows the My Shorts Pod Instagram account. That is nuts to me. And, you know, that's weird to me.
What can we say?
That's very cool. All right, everybody. Hey, listen, we're having a lot of fun. And what I think is great is we're going to get to have more fun right now in just a moment.
Who here doesn't like fun?
Sometimes, like, we don't mean to tease, but we just held back on some of the fun right now.
We're holding back on it, but we're going to come back with it after this beautiful commercial break.
Yeah, these products and services will make your life better, okay? So stick around. You're going to have fun right now, and then we're going to come back with our show, which will also be fun, but not as fun as this stuff.
The Simpsons will be right back.
But before we do that, we do want to give it up for our wonderful sponsors that we've had helping us distribute, paying us a little bit of that cash, and we need to give them a little bit of love before we get to the next segment. So I'm going to turn it over to world famous co-host Nacho Nova.
Thanks, Irvin. With this trying year almost behind us, it's a great time to remind the audience of the importance of staying hydrated to keep our bodies and spirit feeling good. On average, people in the United States generally drink 1 liter of water per day, and 95% drink less than 3 liters per day. Besides drinking it, other typical uses include washing, toilets, and irrigation. With some seeding, another percentage of people receive their water via alcohol intake, a well-respected and traditional way of keeping the body wet. But what if I told you there was another use? A twofold scientific as well as cool fun use. Webster's Dictionary defines butt chugging as the act of ingesting alcohol through one's asshole. The idea is to increase the alcohol's effect and the speed with which one becomes intoxicated via the alcohol enema, thereby increasing nutritious cardio exercise as well as metabolism. An alcohol enema, also known colloquially as butt chugging, is the act of introducing alcohol into the rectum and colon via the anus, i.e., as an enema. Some scientists say this method of alcohol consumption can be dangerous and even deadly, because it leads to faster intoxication since the alcohol is absorbed directly into the bloodstream and bypasses the body's ability to reject the toxin by vomiting. But not all. An alcohol enema is a faster method of alcohol intoxication since the alcohol is absorbed directly into the bloodstream. The lower gastrointestinal tract lacks the alcohol dehydrogenase enzyme present in the stomach and liver that breaks down the ethanol into acetaldehyde, which is actually more toxic than drinking alcohol and is responsible for most chronic effects of ethanol. When rectally absorbed, ethanol will still eventually arrive at the liver, but the high alcohol content could overwhelm the organ.
Additionally, consuming the alcohol rectally neutralizes the body's ability to reject the toxin by vomiting. Yum! The Maya ritual administered enemas of alcohol as an ethnogen, sometimes adding other psychoactive substances, seeking to reach a state of ecstasy. Who are we to doubt the Mayans? Eat My Shorts is the POC Simpsons podcast. Butt chugging. Don't mind if I do.
Hey, man. You want another bowl of my crumb flakes?
I don't really want another bowl. I don't even really like your cereal. It's really the type of thing that you should know. But I guess it just goes to show.
Sometimes flavor loses control. Sometimes flavor don't know where to go.
Stick it up in your bowl. Stick it up in your bowl. Stick it up in your bowl.
That's right. Only Flavor Bowl cereal claims to harness the errant and wayward flavors of the universe and imprisons them to be part of your complete breakfast forever. So go on, stick it up in your bowl. Now sold in stores.
Hey, this is Nacho.
And Irvin. And we're
Eat My Shorts. Sorry we couldn't answer the phone, but if you leave us a message, we'll get back to you.
Hi, my name is Jack Nicholson. You may remember me from movies, but I'm here to say that Eat My Shorts is good. Congratulations on 100 episodes, Wendy.
Hi, this is Barney Grumble. Congratulations on 100 episodes. I'm wasted.
Hi, this is Sean Connery. I recorded this message before I passed away, but... who knows, right? Life, I mean, anybody can pass away at any moment. Happy 100 episodes, Eat My Shorts. And you know, this isn't an endorsement of my character. Okay, goodbye.
Hi, Cha-Cha, this is Dennis Miller. I'm also an asshole. Happy 100 episodes, Eat My Shorts, Cha-Cha.
Hi, this is Jimmy Stewart. I'm also dead, but I like to listen to Eat My Shorts in the afterlife.
Hey, Fred. I'm Barney Rumble.
Barney?
Hi! Hello! This is Crazy Baby Yoda! I like to do a lot of fun things, but I always make time to listen to Eat My Shorts! It's the best podcast in this galaxy and the whole universe! Okay, cowabunga, goodbye! Woo.
Okay, we're back. The audience is here. The remote studio audience. We're safe. We believe in science to a degree, right?
Yeah, the remote podcast.
I believe, like, I have a lot to contribute to science, but they're just not listening. This is Eat My Shorts, a Simpsons podcast. This is the Notch, humanity's Notch.
This is Castellanos. Hello, everybody.
Now,
100.
Very special occasion. If your family's asleep, wake them up, give them a call. If they don't live in the same house as you, wake up your neighbors, flash your lights, honk your horns. We have trucker listeners. We have, like, people in different countries who listen and potentially have access to foghorns or things like that.
Different time zones and all.
Maybe a lighthouse, and they can, like, swirl the lighthouse all over the place, you know?
Fucking project the Eat My Shorts logo into the sea.
Okay, so... I guess we're going to wrap up the show, but it looks like the little press gaggle is walking back up. Like a bunch of flamingos like we see on those nature shows.
I love the Yellowstone documentaries.
Okay. What do you like best about working with Nacho / Irvin? Question for both of you.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. I don't mind answering that, actually. I really like Nacho's professionalism when it comes to the podcast. I feel like as many gimmicks as we do, and we do a lot of gimmicks, this is the gimmick podcast. Nobody does gimmicks like Eat My Shorts. Can I just, like, toot our own fucking horn here? Like, we don't just give you a fucking episode review. Like, there's much more to this shit that goes on. But what I will say is, like, regardless of what we're planning, this dude plans the fuck out of it. Like, he is so prepared. He knows his shit. He does his homework. And he is... I've never felt more in sync with someone that I've done a show with before. And I do so many shows. So many fucking shows. It's really good to have that kind of chemistry with somebody where you don't have to outright say things to each other and you can just feel that anticipation coming, if that makes sense to you guys listening. And I'm very grateful for it, and I've had an incredible time doing this show, and it doesn't feel like I'm even doing anything at all, like, work-wise, because I just have so much fun doing it. And I can't wait to see where we go. This third season has been really hard for us because we've done it remotely. It's we had a lot of things planned for it, a lot of gimmicks, because we love the gimmicks. And we've fucking made our way through it as hard as it's been. This year's been hard for everybody. It's a fucking pandemic, a global pandemic. But we've somehow fucking pushed out a lot of content this year, and we've had the most growth we've ever had on the podcast. And I really feel like people listen and they take notice of this, and I'm very thankful for that, and I can't wait to keep doing things. So yeah.
Well, I would just like to reiterate everything Irvin says. We look forward to a great year coming up in season 4. We're going to cover the best episodes, the greatest episodes. Some of these episodes you never thought we'd ever cover, but we're going to be there. We're showing up for these episodes, and we thank you all for being there.
We have to say something sincere.
Oh, really?
You can't pull a Donald Trump.
Okay. I was doing like a sports conference.
It's good.
Okay, so something sincere. Well, I mean, I don't know. Irvin, did you give a sincere answer, or was that a joke?
No, that was super sincere.
Okay.
I thought that was sincere.
Here's several things I can say. I think it's wonderful to be able to do this podcast. And you know, we don't need to preface this with anything negative, but I would just like to say that Irvin shows up for this podcast in every capacity, in every facet, more than I do. This is undeniable. This is irrefutable. And the fact that I get credit for the podcast's success is unwarranted. I'm merely an editor. I'm merely a steward of basically a wonderful and I would say great framework for a podcast. But yeah, I mean, to give myself a little bit of credit, I would say that what we've established is a wonderful show. I would say that it's a lot of fun each week, you know? And I think I've said this, and really people who are our super friends on Patreon are getting the full experience, but this is something I remember editing and releasing for the Behind the Laughter Patreon podcast. I feel unfulfilled when I'm not podcasting. Currently, I think what we have, me and Irvin, have going on this show is wonderful. It's very fulfilling to be able to have this, especially in this. We can't do it in real life anymore, which is a bummer, you know. But I mean, it's always been fun, and it's a lot of fun, man. I mean, it's a wonderful relationship that I think the audience is able to hear, and they wish they were our friends in real life here as well, because it would be very fulfilling.
And you know what? We can't wait for that to happen post pandemic.
Please.
And we can meet my kids meetups. Love it.
My shorts.
Please.
Please.
Okay. Now, honestly, I'm going to rate this episode 100,000 stars.
I'm going to give this a 100, as they say it in Dallas.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, and this is the Austin Podcast. By the way, nobody can take this away from us. I would like to promote several things. Find us on Twitter, at Twitterv. That's where Irvin is.
Hello, everybody.
I'm at Nacho Nova. There you can find me. Where else are we? Instagram?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Make sure to check out his fleets, too.
Oh, and Eat My Shorts at Twitter, at Eat My Shorts Pod. Find us there. I mean, that's really why we're here.
Twitter and Instagrams.
Twitter and Instagram, you name it. TikTok, we're there. I mean, you can find there's like probably some graffiti on the streets, bathrooms, you know.
There's nothing like finding the random Eat My Shorts sticker in a shitty, grimy bathroom in your city.
Yeah, yeah. We thank our street team at Eat My Shorts Pod, or eatmyshortspod@gmail.com. We can hook you up with some stickers, all right? Be a member of our street team. Join us on Patreon. Hey, it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of extra stuff, an extra podcast behind the laughter.
Starts at $2 per month. Affordable for anybody in your family.
Yeah, a lot of podcasts, a lot of content, behind-the-scenes stuff. And also, like, coupons. I just put some coupons and stuff for, like, junk and clothes.
So when they say junk and clothes, it means not junk and clothes.
Are you talking about the Eat My Shorts apparel?
We would like to... Hey, listen, we've already thanked everybody. We love you. Please.
Love you. Eat My Shorties. Also... super thankful for the homies on Patreon that have believed in us from a very early stage. We appreciate you, and we will continue to give you that great premium content.
We love to call you the super friends. And seriously, it is meaningful to have people believe in and support what we're doing here at Eat My Shorts Pod. Thank you very much, super friends. Thank you, Shorties. Thank you, Irvin. Thank you, Grackle Studio. Keep watching the skis. Let's all ask to Lollapalooza. And...
I hate America.
Woo!
I hate America.
That was it, right?
Yeah, basically. I honestly forgot what it was. Oh, a noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
Eat my shorts.
The Texas podcast, you know what I'm talking about?
Everything's bigger out here. Know what I mean?
Okay, so, yeah, pretty much like that.
Yeah. That's not bad. Wow, we just needed a start.
Yeah. We've done this a lot. We've done this a lot of times.
Did you tell Jessica? I was like, oh, I was telling Eric, I was like, why do I feel like I'm getting all nervous now after 2 years and fucking hundreds of hours of recording?
Well, I was telling her I was getting nervous before doing this, and she's like, you're acting weird.
We're both just like nutting up or whatever. Like, I don't know. My scrotum went inside my body.
Mine's right here. It's all the way. My penis is about to come out of my throat.
My Adam's apple on closer inspection is my dick.
You have an erection in there. Okay.
That's also in the previously.
So we can just go like from previously to previously to previously.
Yeah, because you've already done the previously noise.
Yeah, okay. So should we start over or just keep going?
You want me to do that takeover, or you want to do the number two?
I guess we can start so we can see if we can get it all. But okay. It doesn't matter. But this is because I'm a nut and this is normally how we do it.
No, for sure. Whatever. All
right. So same thing. Let me go ahead and start this up again. Make sure it's the right volume here. Yeah, okay. I'll do it like that. Previously on Eat My Shorts. Oh, hold on, stop. Right.
Oh, I thought you were doing it. Are we doing number one? Okay, let's do it. All right, ready?
Yeah, hang on, sorry. Also, I messed up because I could hear my goddamn mouse clicking over and over, and that wasn't any good.
Click, 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 click.
I was trying to do that. Jesus Christ, I don't know why it didn't work. Okay. Sorry. Excuse me. Jesus.
All right.